the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Particularly tonight, we're thinking about how to read a TV show. So before we do that, let's have a few moments to pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for our world and all the influences there are in it that point to you. And Lord, we think particularly about television and the good that it can do, but also the ill that it can do. And Lord, I pray for my words tonight that they would help us to move forward in understanding more about your world, more about the people in it, and more about you. Amen. Well, I spent 12 hours watching television in preparation for this particular sermon. It was a labour of love. It was a particular TV show that I was watching. Before I tell you a little bit more about that, let's recap what we thought about last week, or what Derek helped us think about last week. He was looking at how to read a story and how to read it, particularly within a film. We looked at he looked at The Wizard of Oz, didn't he, for those of you who were here last week. He helpfully pointed out two questions that we should ask, we should be thinking about when we're watching a film. How did that film make us feel, the power of the film? And then also, what was the film trying to say? What was the film's meaning? And maybe those are helpful questions that you'd like to consider as we apply that tonight to how to read a TV show. I think there's a lot of overlap in terms of films and TV shows. So those are the first two questions I'd like you to think of in the back of your mind, really. And then he helped us to think about the film's meaning in a little bit more depth with four more questions. What was the film saying? What was the message of the film? Biblically, what can we agree with? And then biblically, what must we disagree with? And then finally, what links are there between this film and the gospel? So I'm going to be applying some of those things, hopefully all of those things, in this talk tonight, because Derek so helpfully gave us that outline last week. So, this week, thinking about a TV show, I think we can kind of categorise TV shows into two categories. We've got the fiction, the things that are made up. So we've got things here like soaps, dramas, films. I'm sure you can think of things that are on TV that are just fiction, really. They've been made up, they've been written by scriptwriters for various reasons, various different kind of genres, and that's the one category I'm going to be thinking about. And the second category, the non-fiction, the real life, if you like, real people stories, real situation in a real world. And I think these include things like documentaries, fly on the wall, game shows, reality shows. And then there are those that kind of combine lots of different elements. Things like Big Brother that combine the game show with the real life. Strictly Come Dancing, one of my favourite TV shows. We're not looking at that tonight. But those that combine several elements of that, but are really looking at people's lives. And it's that we're going to concentrate on tonight, the non-fiction elements, the reading into people's lives, if you like, and how we can learn from other people's lives, but how we can apply our faith to the world today and the relationships that we have and we create over our lifetime. Now, in doing that, homing in on non-fiction, we're going to look at this guy tonight, a man called Louis Theroux. Give me a little wave if you've seen anything by Louis Theroux. He's quite a popular BBC journalist who's done a lot of different documentaries, particularly. He's done Louis Theroux Meets, where he's met several different people, people like Anne Widdecombe, Jimmy Savile, the Hamiltons, and all sorts of other celebrities, if you like, of varying degrees of A to Z list, as it were. And then he's also done Weird Weekends, so he spends a whole weekend with a particular group of people. So far, I don't think he's visited Belmont for their weekend away. I'm not seeing any recognition, so hopefully he won't visit us, in greatest of respect to him. But the idea that he kind of immerses himself in people's lives and tries to understand what makes them tick, tries to understand where they're coming from. And there's this quote which I think is quite helpful in summing up. It's on the back of one of his DVD boxes. And this is what it says. It says, through his, this is Louis's, many fascinating and compelling documentaries, Louis Theroux has made the offbeat, the unsavoury and the less visited aspects of life his own domain. Through his unique, intimate, unconfrontational interviewing style, Louis is able to present intense and surprisingly revealing portraits of the most disparate of subjects. So Louis certainly got his work cut out for him when he meets these people. And he doesn't always go with an agenda. It's more to kind of unpack where they're coming from and their lives. And in so doing, to kind of reflect on that and to help us as the audience reflect. He says in his interviews, he doesn't like to kind of present this is the summary, this is the kind of the outcome. He wants to leave that for us to make our own minds up. And it's this whole idea that TV can be very influential, that we are influenced by something, and we've got to be careful what that is and how that affects our lives today. Now, I'm going to show you a clip now from one of Louis Theroux's people that he meets, really, and it's called Louis Theroux and the Nazis. Now, just to point out, this clip is a little bit uncomfortable. It might make you feel a little bit edgy. The N-word is used in this, but I'd like to contextualise it, really, in the fact that Louis' reaction is what we're concentrating on. We're not glorifying this Nazi-style guy. We're really looking at the reaction of Louis and how he deals with these kind of views that are so alien to him and most of us, I would say, in the world today. So thank you very much. It was uncomfortable viewing, wasn't it, at times? Louis kept his mouth closed on so many times when I probably would have said something to those abhorrent views, really, and the way that those people were talking, and the fact that their belief system just influences their whole life and the language that they use and the way that they interact with people and their judgments of people. But did you notice what Louis said in regard to the N-word? He says, it makes me think less of you. You using that word makes me think less of you. He's quietly challenging, isn't he, his interviewees. He's showing wisdom in that. And we're going to move on to this idea of wisdom, because I think this really underpins the way that Louis deals with situations. And there's lots in the Bible about wisdom. There's 219 references, I found, to wisdom in the Bible and our need for it and the way that it can impact our faith and grow it. Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs, says Proverbs 19, verse 11. Then Romans 12, 18 says, do all you can to live at peace with everyone. And then finally, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. And that's from James, the first chapter, verses 5 and 6. I'd like us to think for a few minutes about this idea of wisdom, because whenever we deal with people and we come up against extreme situations, hopefully not as extreme as Louis was in there, but situations where it really calls upon us to watch what we say, to maybe say something or maybe not to say something. And there's a lovely story, if you like, from a book called Don't Just Stand There, Pray Something. It's quite an old book by a guy called Ronald Dunn. And he talks a lot about wisdom and talks quite openly about a situation that affected his family several years ago. And he says this in his talk about wisdom. I'm reminded of a time when a great need arose in my own home. Symptoms of a manic depressive condition began to manifest themselves in our oldest son. Later, he was indeed diagnosed. I'll not go into details except to say that for a while, our world was a waking nightmare. Never had I felt so inadequate, so lost, so ignorant. Kay, that's his wife, and I claimed James 1, verse 5 for ourselves. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. And so we began to pray for wisdom when confronted with traumatic family decisions. But no wisdom came. There was no flash of brilliant insight, no swelling of wisdom in my head. I felt as dumbfounded as ever. In my desperation, I kept reading the verse over and over again, trying to make myself believe it in spite of its obvious failure. I knew better than that, of course. It wasn't the promise that was failing, but what to do? Then I saw it as clear as my face in the mirror. The last phrase in the verse, the promise itself, says, and it will be given to him. Period. Just like that. If I ask God for wisdom, I must have it, whether I felt wise or not. Do you know what I did? I claimed the wisdom God had promised and then began making the decisions that seemed best to me. I believed I had the right to assume that, having asked God for wisdom, his wisdom was operating in me. It was scary. At the time, there was no way to know if my decisions were the right ones. Later, though, when that particular period of our life had passed, I could look back and see that in every instance, I'd made the right decision. God had kept his promise in answer to my praying. I find that really challenging. And it really sent a bit of a light bulb moment in my head, because that last bit, it says, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because one who doubts is like a wave tossed by the sea. And that's a real challenge for us, isn't it? To operate in the truth of the Bible, to operate as if the Bible is applied to our life every day, in spite of the extreme situations we might face, or all sorts of things. And that really challenges me as a Christian to not only ask for wisdom, but really to live in it. And I hope that one day I can look back and maybe times when I've specifically asked for wisdom and say, yeah, God really did guide me. And maybe you've got stories like that that you can share with people today. So we're influenced, and we need to make sure that we're influenced by the right things. Now, Louis isn't a Christian. He doesn't say he's a Christian, but he's clearly operating within, in some ways, the father heart of God, I think, because he's showing that wisdom, that influence, and he wants to do the right thing, doesn't he? He wants to understand these people, but he wants to also quietly sort of challenge them. And he has been known to kind of choose, if you like, freak shows to kind of expose people and situations that you and I might think, well, that's not every day. He's moved on to, fairly recently, a series called Extreme Love, which is looked at autism and dementia. And those were very powerful pieces of television. Unfortunately, I couldn't get clips of them because they're protected by the BBC. So you'll have to go onto the website and have a look, because they're really fascinating, and not that we're kind of oogling at people's lives, but more that the way that Louis really shows how normal people, ordinary people, are operating in really difficult situations. They're not monsters, but Louis kind of helps himself to understand really where they're coming from and what's going on. I don't know why it keeps doing that. And I think that really goes back to this book, isn't it? Don't just stand there, praise something. We can have influence in our everyday situations, in our ordinary life. And God has put us in particular situations as there. So what we've got is another quote here from 2 Corinthians. This idea that God wants to give us spiritual gifts. He wants to give us the ability to be his hands and feet on earth. His Holy Spirit dwelling within us helps us to operate in a world that is difficult, but helps us to make those good decisions. So a spiritual gift is given, 2 Corinthians says, to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. I wonder whether you know what your particular spiritual gifts are. Has God impressed a burden on your heart? Just like Ronald had that burden to pray for wisdom for his son and the family. Has God placed a burden on your heart to understand someone or to meet someone in their situation? I'll leave that with you, but that's something that I'd really like us all, myself included, to take away and to really pray through. We're going to watch our next clip now, which is another clip from Louis Theroux. And it's a different clip, really. It's a clip about a Thai bride introduction agency. So Louis went to visit a Thai bride introduction agency in Thailand, and he met men who were seeking happiness in an unconventional way, if you like, of finding it through this introduction agency. And I don't know how you feel about the clip. Hopefully it won't make you feel uncomfortable. But it's this idea of how we feel about other people's life situations. So I wonder whether we could roll that clip now. Thank you. I don't know how you feel about that clip. It makes me think a lot of different things. In some ways, I'm a bit cynical about whether they're going to be happy ever after. In some ways, I feel sorry for Lake, and I feel that he's trying to search for something. And whether he's found it, I'm not sure. I'm not convinced about. But it's people's lives, isn't it? People living lives. And Louis's right there in the thicket of it, finding out about what makes them tick And whether their love is real, has it got the distance factor in it? We don't know, and it's really easy to judge, isn't it, to sit here and say, oh, that's never going to work, or I'm a bit suspicious about that. But these are real people and real lives. And the whole thrust, I think, of what I'd like to summarise, really, in this idea of TV shows is that, particularly with these non-fiction TV shows, real life, real people, we can learn a lot about our relationship and how we relate to people. And I'd like to leave us with three things, really, to point us in that direction. We need to be available to people for their whole life journey, if we can. I mean, Louis, one of the strengths, I think, is that he spends quality time. He spends sort of 3 weeks plus with his people, if you like. And he really gets to know the mornings, the afternoons and the evenings of their lives, their whole life through. And so he really builds up a big picture. And he's able to pass on that story to us quite effectively. And I think we will only be authentic friends if we are willing to go the whole life journey with people. And I think that really challenges me on the idea of evangelism. Are we seeking to make friends with non-Christians just because we want to evangelize them? And I think that's dangerous in a way. We need to make friends with people because we want to be with them for their whole life journey, not so that we can tick them off the list. So that challenges me about that particular part of our lives and our faith as well. And to understand that we're all fallible. We're continually learning. None of us are perfect. None of us make perfect decisions. None of us listen to God's leading or God's calling all the time effectively. We won't see our relationships in all their purity and their perfection until we reach heaven. But if we understand that and factor that in, that can help us and others on our faith journey. And then lastly, which I think if you don't remember anything from this talk, maybe you can remember this last phrase. Leave footprints to Jesus in all your relationships. Whenever you meet people, the words that you use, the words that you don't use, the silences that you give them, the silences that you don't give them, are all about leaving footprints to Jesus. If we're Christians really living our lives, then we need to season all of our conversations with salt and to point the way to Jesus. That doesn't mean that we go around with a Bible bashing people over the head and thinking that we're better than them, because that's certainly not what Louis does, is it? And it's certainly not what we need to do as Christians. But we need to make sure that Jesus is pointed out in our lives. Now, Louis doesn't do that because he's not a Christian, but what kind of progress would that be in that documentary? I'd love to see him become a Christian, but also to kind of take that documentary and look at the lives of Christians and how they apply things properly. So there's lots to think about, and there's lots of TV shows out there which we haven't had time to go into. But maybe those pointers today can help you and I to look at TV in a different light and maybe look at documentaries and these fly-on-the-wall reality shows in a different way as well. So let's close our time as we pray before the band come up. Father, thank you for the gift of television, the way that we can understand more about the world just by turning on the TV. But Lord, we understand that we are influenced and we want to be influenced by your wisdom. We ask and we seek and we want to live in your wisdom. And I pray that with our conversations, however extreme they might be, or however difficult they might be, you would help us to leave footprints to Jesus so that we grow in our faith. But more than that, we are your hands and feet here on earth.